Very beginning of Parshas Vayakhel, we are told Vayakhel Moshe es kaladaz b'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers in the entire Jewish people. And what does he do as he gathers them in? The Torah says that he teaches them. Zeh ha-davar. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. And he shares all of the different halachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had taught him. Rashi tells us from here we learn that there is an idea that we should all try our best to get together on Shabbos to learn Hilchos Shabbos. It's an opportunity that we all have. And it's important that just as Moshe Rabbeinu made time to teach Hilchos Shabbos, so too we have an obligation to make sure we understand Hilchos Shabbos. Anecdotally, there's a very fascinating observation that is made by the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh on this week's Parsha. At the very beginning of the Parsha, it begins Vayakhel Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered in the entire Jewish people. At the very end of the first Aliyah, we're told Vayetzu Kaladaz B'nei Yisrael Milifnei Moshe. The entire Jewish people left from the presence of Moshe. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh wonders, of course, do you think they stayed there forever? Obviously, if Moshe Rabbeinu gave a shiur, and that's why he gathered them in, once the shiur was over, everybody left. Why does the Torah have to tell me, Vayetzu Kaladaz B'nei Yisrael Milifnei Moshe? That's the question of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. He gives two interpretations, one of them which you can look up on your own, but the other one which I find very, very fascinating is, he tells us the following mashal. He says, imagine you have somebody walking down the street. Just by looking at this individual, you have no idea where they're going. They could be going to the supermarket. They could be going to catch a train. They might be going into the bank. They might be going to teach in a school. They might be a student. They might be a teacher. You really have no idea, or there really is no way of understanding just by looking at someone what it is that they're doing, what it is that they're coming from, where it is that they're headed. It's impossible to know that unless you ask them a question and you start inquiring. However, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, imagine you're walking down the street and you see somebody who's wobbling, who can't walk in a straight line, with vomit all over themselves, and their breath smells like alcohol. You wouldn't have to ask them a question where they're coming from. It would be very clear and obvious just by taking one look at this person that they're walking out of a bar and they drank too much, and now that's why they're in the position that they're in. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, there are certain experiences in life that are so powerful that you don't have to ask, you don't have to inquire, you don't have to look into it. It's so clear where the person just came from. It's clear that the experience that they just had had such an impact on them, either positive or negative, that just by taking one look at them, you can tell. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that's what it was like every time you found yourself in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. You came by Yakel Moshe as Kaladas B'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered in the entire Jewish people and had a conversation with them. When they left, and they were no longer in Moshe Rabbeinu's presence, Vayetzu Kaladas B'nei Yisrael Milifnei Moshe. The entire Jewish people left from before Moshe, and anyone who saw them knew where they just came from. It was so clear, they were so positively impacted by Moshe Rabbeinu, just by being in his presence, that it was written all over their face. And says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, this really is the aspiration of every spiritual endeavor that we involve ourselves with. The question is, when we walk away from it, is it obvious to everyone who engages us that this is where we're coming from? Is it obvious to everyone who sees us that we have just been connecting to something very spiritual, very important, very significant? And just by taking one look at us, they can tell immediately what it is that we've just experienced, what it is that we've just encountered. And that really is what we try to do every time we have the opportunity to observe a mitzvah. What I wanted to spend time talking about today is what Rashi tells us in the name of Chazal, that we all have an obligation to make sure that we study the laws of Shabbos. Why is it that Hilchos Shabbos is so significant? Rashi writes, it's in Parshas Re'eh, Rashi quoting a Sifri. The Sifri is the Medrash on Chumash. Rashi quotes the Sifri where he says that somebody who is Oved Avodah Zarah is Harehu Sar Mikol HaDerech Shenetzav Yisrael. If somebody serves Avodah Zarah, it's as if you have violated all of the Torah principles. Mikan Amrion, from here, Chachamim tell us, Kalamode Ba'Avodah Zarah Kekofer B'Chol HaTorah Kula. Someone who engages in Avodah Zarah, it's as if you have denied the authenticity of the entirety of Torah. It's not just like, I speak Lashon Hara, and therefore I have a certain Achilles heel, I have something wrong when it comes to Lashon Hara, I have to fix it. No. If you have violated Avodah Zarah, it's as if you haven't really kept any of the mitzvahs. It's as if you have violated everything. That's what Rashi says. Kalamode ba'avodas kochavim, kekofer b'chala tarakula. And then Rashi quotes a Gemara Maseches Chulin Daf Dalid, where the Gemara tells us, Mumer la'avodas kochavim, Havei kemumer l'chala terakula. What does that mean? If I have somebody who owns a restaurant and they serve non-kosher food in the restaurant, what happens at that point? So while the Gemara says it's true that every Jew has a cheskas kashrus, every Jew has a right to be trusted, but if you serve non-kosher food in your restaurant, you have lost your cheskas kashrus. I can no longer trust you when it comes to the area of kashrus. Make sense? What happens if you have somebody who comes in and tells us testimony? Do we have any reason not to believe you? No. Why shouldn't we believe you? Every Jew has a cheskas kashrus. You come in, you tell me information. There's no reason why I shouldn't take you seriously. What if that person was subsequently caught on a lie with something else? Then you lose your cheskas kashrus. In terms of presenting testimony, in terms of saying over the facts of whatever happened, you no longer have a cheskas kashrus. Does that mean that you are now disqualified from other areas of life? No. It just means that when you're going to walk into a beis the next time, or you're going to come into a room and try to share information, people may not trust you anymore because you have lost your sense of trust. What happens if somebody serves avodah zarah? Is that considered one isolated incident? Or do we say that that extends, that spills over to other areas of Torah observance as well? From here, the Gemara says that somebody who's ovid avodah zarah is ki'ilu kofer b'chala Torah kula. It's not the same as somebody who speaks lashon hara. It's not the same as somebody who eats non-kosher food. We say that those are isolated events. Those are isolated incidents. When it comes to avodah zarah, that is something that is far-reaching. And if you've served avodah zarah, we assume that that is considered to be as if you have violated all the laws of the Torah, and that is why it is very, very severe. Similarly, when it comes to the laws of Shabbos, the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin on Daf Hey, this is quoted, La'alach and Shulchan Aruch, Mumer l'Shabbos is k'mumer l'chala Torah kula. If someone violates Shabbos, it's not the same as violating the Yisr Lashon Hara, but rather we assume that this is considered to be so severe and so serious. And that is why Rashi tells us in Sefer Bamidbar, Lama nismecha parshas mekoshesh, the parshas avodas kochavim, why is it that the mekoshesh ha'etzim, somebody was mechal Shabbos, why is it that that individual is considered to be in the same category as an oved kochavim? Why does the Torah put the two stories next to each other? Says Rashi, Lomar, to teach us, mechal Shabbos kilu oved avodah zarah. If somebody is mechal Shabbos, it's as if you've served avodah zarah. And the same way one who serves avodah zarah is kemumer l'chala Torah kula, it's as if you've been disqualified now from chala Torah kula, so too, one who violates Shabbos is also considered to be like a mumer l'chala Torah kula. Let me read you the introduction, a few lines of the introduction of the Chafetz Chaim to the third Chelek of Mishneh Berurah. Third Chelek of Mishneh Berurah is all about Hilchos Shabbos. And there in the Hakdama, the Mishneh Berurah writes, as we'll see in a few minutes, why it's so important that everybody makes time to go and study the laws of Shabbos and to understand it very well. But here writes the Mishneh Berurah as follows. It says, Zachar es yama Shabbos lekatsho, ki sheishes yamim asa Hashem es ha-shamayim v'sa-aretz. The end of the pasuk is, why should we observe Shabbos? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days. Says the Mishneh Berurah, why are those two things interconnected? Why do we assume that there's a connection between Bria Shamayim Ba'aretz and the observance of Shabbos? He explains, Hora Lanu, what the Torah is coming to teach us is, She'inyan HaShabbos Hu Shoresh HaEmuna. Shabbos is all about solidifying our understanding of Emuna. Leida, that we should know, She'ha'olam Hu Mechudash. We should know that the world was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'kivin Shebarah HaKol Hu Adon Al HaKol Va'anachnu Avadav. Once we remind ourselves of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who created the world, it makes us remember, well, therefore, he's the one who created all of us. And therefore, he's the one who governs our behavior. He is the one who determines what we should or should not be doing, what is acceptable and what is not. And therefore, he says, it gives us the opportunity every Shabbos to be reminded of what our expectation is supposed to be and what it is that we are supposed to be thinking about all the time. The Mishneh Berurah gives a little bit of a mashal where he says that perhaps when you think about the fact that our body has Ramach Evarim and Shesa Gidim, when that is the reality that we're dealing with, so then you have to think about the fact that every mitzvah in the Torah, there are 613 mitzvahs, so every mitzvah in the Torah is really something that is keneged one of the Evarim of a human body. But he says when it comes to Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, that is like the Lev and the Moach. That is like the critical, most critical parts of a person's body, that if those don't work, you're not alive. If somebody's heart stops, they can't live. Of course, now we can put them on machines. But if somebody's heart stops, we assume them to no longer be alive. If somebody is brain dead, we assume, for all intents and purposes, they've lost a major, major aspect of life. They're not able to keep living like that for so long. And therefore, says the Mishneh Berurah, when we think about Shabbos, it should really be considered the same. And that is why we assume that Mechal Shabbos is Dino Kimumer L'Chala Terakula and Dino Ka'oved Avodah Zarah. Okay. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah in his Akdama, therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, it is important for somebody who has Yiras Shamayim, lechonein chaburos lomod hilchos Shabbos, kedei shelo yikashlubam. He says we have to make sure that we try to get together to learn hilchos Shabbos in order that we should not make a mistake. So that is really something as we walk away from Parshas Vayakel, or as we engage Parshas Vayakel this week, it's important for us not only to pay attention to the psukim and chumash and to take away whatever we can over Shabbos, but also to think about the underlying theme of Parshas Vayakel, which is Moshe Rabbeinu instructed the Jewish people all about Hilchos Shabbos, and we in turn are supposed to do the same. We are supposed to really make sure that we have a good understanding of what Hilchos Shabbos expects of us and what we need to do to engage Shabbos properly. Let us begin with a beautiful comment of Reb Shimshon Pinkus. Reb Shimshon Pinkus, I find in his Sfarim, he often tries to ask a question, which is, what is the essence of the mitzvah that's in front of us? What is it that we're supposed to be thinking? What is it that we're supposed to be doing as we observe the mitzvah that we find in front of us? So let's see over here. Echad meha yesodos hachashuvim biyadasu. One of the most fundamental, important ideas, he says, is shahayom bo pokshimas hakadosh baruch hu Shabbos kodesh. We understand that on Shabbos, we have the opportunity to engage, to encounter and experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, let's try to understand. If that's really what we're supposed to be doing, let's try to understand what Shabbos is all about. Where he continues on is as follows. L'chol moed, every one of the Yom Tovim throughout the year, yesh et hamaymad shelo. Each one has a focus. Each Yom Tov has a theme. As habitui hamiyuchad lo. Something specific in which we refer to it as such. Meaning, Pesach is referred to as Zman Chayruseinu. There's no better way to sum up Pesach than that. Shavuos is Zman Matan Torosenu. Makes sense. That's what Shavuos is all about. Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaDin. If I were to sum up in one cryptic statement, what is Shabbos? How would you say it? It's not Zman Chayruseinu. It's not Zman Matan Torosenu. It's not Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaDin. What is Shabbos? So he says, what it is, in his opinion, is Yomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The dominating theme of Shabbos is, it's the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos Milashon Shvisa. So let's try to understand what that means. He explains that Shabbos comes from the term Shvisa, which means everything is resting. Everything is calm. Let's read what he says. Chazal Omer. Chazal tell us in the Medrash Shemos Rabbah, Kishanasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu es HaTorah. When the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah, Tzipor lo tzavach, no birds were chirping. Of lo parach, no birds were flying. Shar lo ga'a, ofanim lo afu, srafim lo amru kadosh kadosh. The entire world and the upper worlds came to a complete standstill when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Even the malachim, even the angels, did not do their normal job. They did not sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hayam lo nizdazea, the ocean stopped with its waves. Habriyos lo dibru, no human being spoke. Ha'olam, the world, was shosek u'machresh. It was absolutely still and silent. And at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So how do you understand that medrash? V'hinei b'pashtos mevinim. On the most basic of levels, what it means is, shehakol hayashakei, that everything in the world was still, was quiet. U'memela, and as a result of that, hayayachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu lomar anochi Hashem Elokecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I need quiet. I don't want you to make a mistake and not understand what I'm saying because you're busy being distracted by a bird over there or by the waves of the ocean over there, or by a plane that's flying above your head, or by anything else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we're going to bring the world to a complete standstill in order to allow you to appreciate the words that I'm saying. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Ha'olam tzarach liyos shari b'demama. The world had to be in absolute silence, uninterrupted. Ha'emes hisha enyin bazehu afuch. But says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, that's not the reason why. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want us to be distracted and therefore he decided to make everything come to a standstill, that we should be able to hear the pure voice of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but rather, Be'etzem, Hashem Yisbarach Tofes Es HaKol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu really encompasses the entirety of our world. That is everything. if we had eyes to see clearly, we would see HaKadosh Baruch Hu all over the place. We would see the Ribbono Shel Olam as a pervasive force in every aspect of our lives. Ela she'anachnu mitzidenu asukim midai. We are just too distracted, too busy. V'lo misbonenu misaviv, and therefore we cannot pay attention properly, and that's why we don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he gives an amazing mashal to explain this. Haya pam melech gadol v'nifla. There was a prestigious, honorable king. And one of the very simple subjects who had never been to the palace before was invited to come. Any of you ever been to Buckingham Palace? No. Yeah, you have? It's a lot of things to look at.
It's very big.
Very big. A lot of different things to distract you. So many things that can catch your attention. And when you're there, you're not even sure that you're actually going to be able to see everything because you're trying as much as you can. Your tour is only so long. Anyone here ever been to the White House? No? People's House. Never been there? Right? Right? So the White House is like amazing. It's like so many amazing things happen there and so much history. And you're walking around and you're reading this and you're looking at that. And you get so distracted because there's so many things to look at. You don't know where to catch your... You don't know where your attention should go first. So you have this person who comes for the very first time to this Armon. But Armon HaMalucha, in the palace, do you think that you walk into Buckingham Palace and there's only one room? You think you walk into the White House and there's only the Oval Office? No, of course. There's 100 different rooms, and each one has its own function. And there's something going on in each one. Milvad HaMelech Atzmo, aside from the king himself or herself who reside in the palace, Nimtzayim Anashim Nosafim HaMisharsim Es HaMelech, you know how many advisors and assistants there are who also spend their time there? Aside from those people who have offices there, they have Menagnim, they have pianists and musicians, Chachamim, advisors, Yoatzim, all kinds of cabinet members. It's a good voice. V'hine, Magia ha'oreach v'nichnas lehechal ha'melech. And now this person who's coming for the first time is like overwhelmed. You walk in and you see room after room and you see office after office and you see so many different amenities. Miyad kisha nichnas, immediately when you go in, who shomea, you hear, shebitzad yamin shalahechal misnagenes, la musica nifla. You hear this beautiful symphony orchestra that's playing music right next door. And you just take it all in. Sit down in that room. You hear that beautiful person's voice. I'm sorry, that beautiful voice of that person. And you're in a trance. It's amazing. And you're just enjoying it. I'm not, but you can imagine. Sometimes you do. And then, as you're there, it's hard to pull myself away from that distraction or that trance. And then I realize that after I shift my eyes and start looking at the other end of the room, I see that he has all kinds of paintings and things hanging on the wall and so much history and so much going on. Then I look at another room and I just see the beautiful way that the room has been assembled. It's just amazing. The problem is that with all of that, I pay no attention to the king himself because I'm just so taken by everything else that's going on, and I miss the experience itself of actually having the opportunity to engage with the king. Look at the next paragraph. Be'ef sharusa lahavir sha'ot agabi sha'ot. It is possible to go hours upon hours, beklitas kalayofi shamisaviv, absorbing all the beauty that's here and all the distraction. Ula olam lo yiras yofio shel hamelech atzmo. You might actually have this experience and never actually come to have that interaction with the king himself. Why? Because by the time you get there, your time is up. You've spent so much time doing everything else. Why did the king invite you? Just because he wants you to see the White House? Because he wants you to see the palace? No, because he wants to talk to you. And the king says to himself, what can I do to get this person to stop looking at everything else and to start paying attention to me? So what does he do? Ma'osa ha'melech, who machriz, he says, puts out an announcement, kulam lios b'sheket. I want all of you to stop. All the musicians, stop immediately. Take all the paintings off the wall. Lock all the doors of all the other rooms. And what's going to be left for this person to do other than to focus on the Melech? Ve'az ba'osa rega shahakol shaket. And then at that moment when everything's silent and there's nothing else to be involved with, there's nothing else to distract me, suddenly hodo v'hadar shel ha'melech me'malam es'echalo. Suddenly the only thing to look at and to focus on is the grandeur of the king himself. That's the mashal that he gives. How is it relevant to Shabbos? He explains, olamenu, our world, is olam niflahu. We live in an incredible reality in this world. Melo chal ha'aretz kevodo. What does that mean? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence actually fills the entire world. Yofio shel abor yizbarach memalei es kol ha'olam. Adam nichnas la'olam uvamakom liras es galusa shel Hashem. In the place of seeing the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchei Hamlachim here in the world, who mislaim mikol ha'yofi shel ha'olam. I'm totally carried away. I'm overwhelmed by everything else I see. But you don't realize that the only reason why all of that is here is to build up the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you wonder, why do we have the Alps and why do we have all these amazing natural phenomenon in our world that make us have such a pleasurable experience here? All of that can either serve as a distraction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or can serve as a way for us to appreciate the absolute grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look how many different elements there are to his palace. Look how beautiful and amazing it is. Next paragraph, Ha'olam marchek osanam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, he says, our world sometimes distances us from the Ribono Shel Olam. Shehu tofes hakol. We forget that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything started with the majesty of the Ribono Shel Olam all over the world. Adam nichnas lechanus prachim. I go into a store, into a florist. Va'od lefnei shehu ra'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead of seeing the beauty of the Ribono Shel Olam in all the flowers that are here in the assortment, V'yomer, and he should say, Ribono Shel Olam, Eze Yofi, Marava Ma'asecha. Instead of that, Shocheach Es Hashem Yizbarach. You walk into the store and you say, okay, can I have this arrangement? Can I have that? This looks beautiful. That's very nice. And you miss the point. The only reason why we have all of that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to appreciate the grand, majestic world that we live in. That is all part of his palace. And instead of being overwhelmed by the presence of the Shechina, we are overwhelmed by all the distractions that are here as a part of that majesty. Look at the last paragraph. Zehu Shabbos Kodesh. That, in a nutshell, is what Shabbos Kodesh is all about. Yom Shel Shvisa Muchletas. Why does everything in the world need to stop? Suggests Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Kala Mahuma HaShoreres Ba'olam Afsika. We take all the distraction and all the noise of our lives and we remove it on Shabbos. During every other day of the week, we go about our work and we engage with the world and we do all kinds of things. However, b'Shabbos hakol mafsik, hakol domeim, everything is silent. Because on Shabbos, what is left? When you take all the distraction away, it should leave you an opportunity to recognize the majesty of the King himself. That's what Shabbos is. That's what Shabbos is. Right, to be honest, and Ibishitz in the Yaros Devash. If you look here on the bottom, Ube Emes Ashrei Hashomim Shabbos Karoi Kivo Bachar Hashem Yisrael Es Gulaso. Shabbos is so significant. V'yomze Chemdas Es Gulas Hayamim. This is the most precious of all the days of the week. V'ilu Shamar Yisrael Shabbos Karoi Hayu Nigalim. If only we observe Shabbos properly, we would be redeemed. Ube Avanoseinu Harabim Ein Anu Nizharim Bekama Dinim. Malachos v'todos dinei muktza v'yisira d'rabanan. Many people are simply unaware of so many areas of Hilchos Shabbos. Va'al harov, and for the most part, he says, it's because of machmas chisara nidia. It's simply because we don't know. We're not educated well enough in the laws of Shabbos. Ki ba'avonoseinu harabim nefishi v'chamiri Hilchos Shabbos v'ein kor v'hem l'shma. We don't have enough people who are trying their best to fully understand the laws of Shabbos. V'ein Lishmar, Velumod, Velasas, Lom Derak, Malkum Pilpul, Kushio, Peruka, Vechidod, Vein Sam Alev, Lilmod Hilchos Shabbos, Sheyu, Shkurim, Befiv, Babonosein HaRabim, Shigigas Talmud, Olazadu. What does Shigas Talmud Ola Zadam mean? Shigas Talmud Ola Zadam means, imagine you have a person who walks into the street in the middle of a highway with blindfold on. So they close their eyes, put on a blindfold, and walk into the highway. What's going to happen? Going to get hit by a car. They're probably going to get killed. So they come back and they say, it wasn't my fault. I wasn't looking. I didn't realize I was walking straight into a car that was moving at 65 miles an hour. How am I supposed to know? Obviously, we all understand that that's preposterous for a person to feel that way. You can't walk into the street with blinders and assume everything's going to be okay. This is a danger. Shigigas Talmud Olazadah means that. To walk into Shabbos and to say, you know, I just don't know the halacha, so I'll just assume and hope for the best. That's like the person who walks into the street with blinders over their eyes, not realizing that you're going to get hit by a car, and that can be a fatal consequence as a result of your actions. So he writes in the next paragraph, "Bibakasha mikem achayu banai." Therefore, writes Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz, "I beg of you, ein rasha she'ein ani mazir eschem." There is not a drasha that I give where I don't try to re-emphasize the importance of learning Hilchos Shabbos. Shimu lema amari, listen to me. Uberprad Hilchos Shabbos v'yamtiv lishmar moadei Hashem karoi ki heim mekroi kodesh v'heim hamaginim aleinu. And then he goes further. Ashrei shoktei tarasa ladas eichu ma'ayina gadam kamahu ishmi Yisrael. Uberprad pinyani Shabbos kodesh asher hizharti v'amarti kol pam upam. I talk so often. If you did not learn Hilchos Shabbos properly, if you didn't go through it enough times, it is impossible, he writes, that somebody can properly observe Shabbos without going through the halachos well a few times. It's impossible. How are you supposed to know the rules if you've never actually been through them? A very interesting idea we find in Parsha Shlach, in the Sefer Darash Moshe, which is the insights of Rav Moshe Feinstein on Chumash. So let's learn it together, where he writes, "Gam anashim shomrei Shabbos trichim sheyidaber itam yichazku osam b'shmirah Shabbos." We have an obligation to try to go out and speak to people about the importance of observing Shabbos properly, and to try to really think about how to do that in the right way. And then he gives an example. He gives an example and he says, what is the story of the Roa Sota B'Kokula? The Gemara tells us, why is it that the Parsha of Sota, the story of the woman who has been unfaithful to her husband, why is it that that parsha is right next to the story of the Nazir? A Nazir is somebody who takes upon himself. Is a woman able to be a Nazir?
Yeah.
How do you know?
I've heard it.
So welcome to the Talmidir of Shechter. My father asks this to every single guy who applies for the Kol LMYU. Can a woman be a Nazir? Why does he ask it? Because he's a feminist? No, so why does he ask it? He wants to see, do they go through the parsha every week? Pasuk says, Ish o Isha. It's the introduction that the Pasuk gives to the story of the Nazir. It's a Mefurisha Pasuk, it's explicit. It says, a man or a woman can take Naziris upon themselves. Now, what does it mean when you take Naziris upon yourself? Naziris upon yourself means, I'm adding restrictions to my life. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you should live life and enjoy everything and drink wine whenever you want, here, a Nazir takes upon him or herself, I'm not going to drink wine. Why? I want to restrict myself. I don't want to have as much pleasure as everybody else. Ask the Gemara, why is the story of the Nazir right next to the story of the Sota? Obviously, the Torah put them together for a reason. So why are they one next to the other? Says the Gemara, Kalaroa Sota Bilkukula Yazir Atzmo Minayayin. What does that mean? Anyone who sees the story of the Sota unfolding is going to be so impacted by it, they have to automatically become a Nazir. What does that mean? What it means is, the Rambam tells us that it's always good for a person to go b'derech ha-mamutzeh. It's always good for a person to find the even-keeled medium of life. We should never be to the extreme in either direction. We should always be somewhere in the shvil hazav, the Rambam says, somewhere in the middle, and we should always try to strike that balance properly. What is an exception to that rule, says the Rambam? If you live in a dor paritz in one area, if you live in a dor in a generation where nobody is paying attention to this area of halacha, then we have to go to the extreme in the other way. in order to make sure that we don't fall in and make that mistake that the whole generation is falling prey to. Okay, we have to plug that into our generation and think about what are the challenges of our generation and what is it that needs extra chizuk. I've asked my father many, many questions about the laws of yichud. People have questions on yichud all the time. I've asked my father many of the questions. That is true. There are heterim for yichud. If it's a Pesach, Pasuach, the Rishus HaRabim, if you have people that can come into the house all the time, or whatever, all kinds of different heterim. Baila Be'ir, right? If the husband is in town, then there's no concern because he can come home any time, and maybe she's going to think that her husband is there and she's going to be afraid, and therefore there's no problem of yichud with a married woman. If Baila Be'ir, all of these heterim, fine, it's very nice. And my father says, when we live in a generation that is so parutz ba'arayis, every day you look in the news and the greatest politicians are taken down because of inappropriate activity that they've been involved with. And people who were otherwise very upstanding people, or seemingly to us, it turns out they weren't, but seemingly to us were very upstanding people, get involved in things, and maybe it's just a yetzahara, maybe it's just it's too difficult, but we see how parutz ba'arayis we are. We need to go to the extreme. And my father always tells me, although it's true that there are many heterim for yichud, as the Shulchan Aruch says, and they are legitimate heterim, but who can rely on heterim for yichud when we live in a generation that is so not careful about arayis? We have to go to the extreme. That's what the Rambam says. We have to go to the extreme when we live in a generation that struggles with something. So one of the extremes that we learn about is the Parsha of Sota. What happens by the Parsha of Sota? So the Gemara says you have a woman who's unfaithful to her husband. Why is she unfaithful to her husband? How did that come to be? The Gemara assumes because she was drinking too much wine, she was hanging out, she was in a light state of mood, and as a result of that, one thing led to the other, which led to the other, to the other, and then she turns out to be a Sota. You're in the Beis HaMikdash, you happen to be offering a korban one fine day, and it so happens there's like a very interesting story going on right next to you in the Beis HaMikdash, and you see the Kohen is taking this woman, and he's making the mixture for her, and then you watch as she blows up from whatever the Torah prescribes, that if she's actually guilty, it's a terrible outcome, a crazy story, miraculous, and you're watching all of this. What's the takeaway message?
Don't get involved in.
Don't get involved. What should you not get involved with? So obviously the takeaway message is don't get involved with arayis. The Gemara says, no, that's not the takeaway message. Go to the root of the problem. The root of the problem was you drank too much wine. You were too lightheaded. And when that happens, it leads to bad things. And therefore, says the Gemara, Yazer Atzma Min Hayayin. The takeaway message for anyone who sees the story of the Sota is, Yazer Atzma Min Hayayin. You have to become a Nazir in order to stay very far away from wine because you saw the damaging effects of wine. You see what could have happened. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Kol shekein ba'avonoseinu harabim, shevroin anu chilol Shabbos be'einenu. We see chilol Shabbos all around us. We're not living in a shtetl somewhere. We don't feel Shabbos, especially here in Galus. I sometimes feel, you ever been on a yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos? An enclosed yeshuv? It's like an amazing experience. Is that where you live? No? Modiyah. Meretz Hashem, you know, they should all be shav b'tshuva. But It's just amazing. You go to a yeshuv. Everyone is frum. Once Shabbos comes in, it's just silent. You feel Shabbos all around you. But that's not the experience that we have here in Golos, for sure. It says, Rav Moshe, Kol shekein ba'avonoseinu harabim, sheroen anu chilo Shabbos be'einenu, ve'ein roen tekev ba'ansham. People are mechal Shabbos all the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come with lightning and strike people. Af shevadei ne'anashim. Of course, Rav Moshe says, we believe they're going to be punished someday, but we don't see it. And it seems that those who are Mechal Shabbos are doing just fine. And therefore he says, what we need to do is be Mechazik in our learning of Hilchos Shabbos because Shabbos is so much a part of life that is not appreciated by so many Jews. They just simply don't appreciate what Shabbos is and don't follow the laws of Shabbos. And it's become second nature to us to expect that. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, we have to go to the extreme, just like the Sota did. When we're talking about the story of the Mekoshe She'etzim, I'm sure we're familiar with the story. The Torah tells us what exactly happened with the Mekoshe She'etzim. You have someone who went outside on Shabbos. Let's read the Psukim. Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes about it. Look at number Dalit. Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'amidbar. The Jewish people at this time were in the desert. Vayimtsu ish mekoshi she'etzim yom ha-shabbos. And they happened to see that there's a Jew out there in the fields. Mekoshi she'etzim means, what was he doing? He was gathering sticks. Okay. As they say in Yiddish, v'asad de shlecht. So what did he do? What's so bad? What? If we would have seen him chopping down trees, one thing. What did he do? Mekoshi she'etzim. What malacha is that? Very hard to understand. Says the pasuk. Vayakrivu oso hamotziim oso. So those who saw him, they brought him to Moshe and Aaron. Ve'alkala eda. Vayanichu oso b'mishbar. And they put him in jail. Ki lo peirash me'e asalo. The Torah never told us. What do you do when somebody's a Mechal Shabbos? What do you do when you see somebody gathering sticks on Shabbos? What should the punishment be? And as a result of that, they decided to put him in jail. And until further clarification, we're going to keep him there. And we'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. Vayamar Hashem al Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll tell you what to do. Mos Yumas Ha'ish, Ragam Osoba Avanim Kala Edim Yichutz Lamachane. He needs to get the death penalty. Everybody has to come out and stone him together. And in fact, that's what they do. Vayotziu oso kala edel michutz lamachne, vayirgumu oso ba'avanu vayamos, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Okay. Terrible story. Somebody was killed, somebody lost his life. Everybody was involved. Major spectacle. Question?
Yeah, this could be totally off, but could this be like a proof that you're allowed to put somebody in jail in Shabbos, like what we were talking about last class?
Can this be a proof? That is a big question, whether you're allowed to put someone in jail on Shabbos. Can this be a proof? I don't know. I have to look up the sugya again. But I think we generally paskin that you're not allowed to. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam writes, Ein ma'anishim b'Shabbos. He makes up like a new iser, that you're not allowed to punish someone on Shabbos. What is that all about? Why are you not allowed to punish someone on Shabbos? So that's a big discussion. Why not? So if it's administering capital punishment, that requires netilas neshama, it requires all kinds of malachas. But let's say it's not. Let's say it's throwing someone in jail. What would be the prohibition? Why does the Rambam say Ein ma'anishim b'Shabbos? Very interesting question. But okay, let's see. Be'emes, Rav Shimshon Pinkus really exaggerates here in a beautiful way to bring out a point. So he says, Be'emes lepela hadavar. This is a pella. It's a pella. What's the pella? Ad kama achmira Torah ashmira Shabbos Kodesh. Look how far the Torah goes in upholding the sanctity of Shabbos. Mashallah matzinu digmaso b'shum mitzvah shem b'Torah. We don't find this with regard to any other mitzvah in the Torah. Hainu. Sha'al pu'ula kala shabakalas, when I have the slightest, smallest thing that somebody does on Shabbos, sach hakol, less of kama itzim asadeh, what did I do already? I gathered a bunch of sticks in the field, kvar hanisha Torah ba'onash hachamer b'yoser. The Torah says, we give him skila, and the whole community comes out, v'ragmu kala amba avanim. What did he do already? What did he do? All he did was gather some sticks. And here he exaggerates and he says, Bahare, Misha Yisrov Sefer Torah Rachmana Litzlan. Imagine you have somebody who walks into shul one day, takes out the Sefer Torah, burns it in the middle of the Times Square. What would we say to such a person? Russia, terrible, blasphemous, whatever you're going to say. Would we give you the death penalty? Would we?
No.
Why?
It's still more like Chil Hashem, I think. You need, God forbid, to die.
Okay, no Chilul Hashem. Nobody's watching. I heard about it. So what would I give this person?
It's still Chilul Hashem to burn a Sefer Torah. Maybe the punishment is less severe, but it doesn't mean that the transgression is less severe.
No. That's what it would seem. If it was as severe, the punishment should be the same.
But isn't the thing that you don't get kapara? For Shabbos, if you, God forbid, break Shabbos, I think you have to wait for you to chew and kippur, and you're done. But okay. Then for Chil Hashem, no? What's
happening? That's true. Let's say it's not a Chil Hashem. I did it in private. No one else is watching. Right? So he gives an extreme example. Misha Yisrov Sefer Torah Rachmana Litzlan Im Kol Hashem Os HaKodesh Shebo. Sefer Torah has hundreds of names of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Eino Chayiv Nisa. You're not going to be given the death penalty for doing that. O Misha Ochel Chazir Metamtem Es Kol Nafsho. somebody who goes to non-kosher restaurants eating cheeseburgers, total treif. Af harotzeach shehichriv nefesh miyisura. Even a rotzeach who murders someone else. Afal pi shegam hu chayiv misa. Even though that person's punishment is the death penalty. Lachmir ba torah kuma yitzel machal shabbos. Ksharei rotzeach chayiv misa sayiv. We have four different capital punishments that one can get. The worst of them is skila. The least of them is sayiv. Less than that is sayiv, which means they decapitate someone. That's not considered to be as chamer. Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, why is it when it comes to Shabbos, it's worse than Ritzicha? How can that be? How can that be? Ilu amalacha kala Shabbos biyoser, kegon lilchot zala kaftor lahadik esa'or. Somebody walks into a room on Shabbos and turns on the light, we're going to give you skila? But if you go in your rotzeach, all you get is sayif? How can that be? What does that mean? Olahafrida shashmana me'al hachalav. Right, so I have a soup, I take it out of the refrigerator, and I start separating the fat on top of the soup. I violate the Isser of Borer. So what are you going to give me? Misa. And for somebody who goes and burns the Sefer Torah, what do you give him? Nothing. Not Misa. How can that be? He says, I'm not saying that God is wrong. I'm just trying to understand. What is this all about? Next paragraph. Amnam. Mashal ma dover dharma. Let me try to give you a mashal to understand this. Let's say somebody gets a major injury on their arm or leg. And the doctor has made a decision that we need to do a major surgery to fix this. You ever saw how they mark up a body when they're about to do a surgery? Right, you've seen this? So they make all kinds of markings. It amazes me, actually, that in today's generation, with all the lasers that we have and everything, a doctor is still coloring all over people's bodies like this. No? It's interesting. I don't ever wondered that. You have. Thank you. Something that bothers me. Like, how can it be? With all the technology that we have, they can't figure out how to put someone's leg in the machine and just tell the surgeon where to go? I don't know. It's surprising to me. Okay. So imagine you have somebody, and the rofe kava shatzarach lenatech hasamaka b'chdei l'rafosa. The doctor says, absolutely, we have to do an emergency surgery. Hine. Im harofe hamanatech yite v'inatech ben merchak shnei centimetrim mimakom ha-petza. Imagine somebody has a cancerous growth. Rachmana litzlan. And the doctor says, you know, we need to do a surgery to remove it. And by mistake, they open up the person's body 1 or 2 centimeters off from where it should have been. And then they close them up and they realize, oh, we made a mistake. So what happens? What happens? Yochel is habas mizem mum chamer ba'adam. Could be a terrible thing. You opened up the person unnecessarily. It was in the wrong place. Now you have to open them again to take out the mass that was somewhere else. That's a serious problem. Achadayin ein ze ason benefesh. Hopefully the patient's not going to die from that. So okay, his arm or his leg may have an extra scar, maybe it won't work as well, maybe he's going to have scar tissue from the extra surgery, whatever it may be. However, what if somebody needs an open heart surgery? Somebody needs a surgery on their brain, somebody needs a surgery on their heart. In those locations on the body, those are the most sensitive areas in the body. Shasham mekar hachius umishkan hanefesh. That's where it all comes down to. V'hatos o hastaya kala biyoser chas v'shalom asuya lahavi atam miyad ason benefesh. You do an open heart surgery and mistakenly you touch this part of the heart a half a centimeter off from where you need to be. The person's dead. You go ahead and you do a brain surgery and you open up the person's head and you mistakenly touch this nerve instead of that nerve. You know what happens? Paralyzed. Because when you're dealing with the most sensitive areas of a body, even the slightest, smallest mistake can be fatal and can have dire consequences. Explains of Shimshon Pinkus, V'chein hu ha'inim b'Shabbos Kodesh, hu ha'lev v'ha'merkaz v'chol ha'kedushas. Shabbos is the heart and soul of all of Yiddishkeit, of all of Judaism. That is why it's referred to as Me'ein HaBrachos. We say that in our Davening Friday night. Shabbos is referred to as the source of all blessings, which means HaMa'ayan VaHamakar L'chal Kedusha U'Bracha. In order to have any sense of what Judaism expects of me, I need to have an understanding of what Shabbos is. Ba shor hashchina kedusha vehi makar achias lenefesh hayehudi velachein, and therefore, in miskalkala itzal adam shmira Shabbos af bistia kala biyoser. If somebody makes even the slightest mistake in their observance of Shabbos, hareze mum penimi ba'omek halev, that is something that can have devastating consequences to my entire body. That can ruin everything. And that is considered to be Mishkan Hanashama Besoch Pnimi Yuso Umemela Ba Ha'ason HaChamer Biyoser Shekedushas HaYehudi Asher Bo Ve'etzem Ahusu Ve'amunasu Nifgoyim Atri Amru Chazal. And this is why Chazal said HaMechal HaShabbos Befarhesya Nechshav Kegoy. We say that someone is Mechal HaShabbos, it's as if you've ruined everything. Why? Because it's as if you've done an open heart surgery and made the slightest mistake, the person's dead. There is no coming back from that. The person is paralyzed. How can you do such a thing? And therefore he says, that's why the Gemara tells us that one who is Shomer Shabbos is going to have so much bracha in life, and one who is a Mechal Shabbos is Dino Ka'ovid Avodah Zarah and Kamumer L'chala Terukula, because this is the essence of everything that a Jew stands for. This is the source. This is where it's at. This is the lev and the moach of a Jew. Why is that? Because on Shabbos is the time where we have the opportunity to take all the noise out around us and to actually have an appreciation for the Ribono Shel Olam, who's Melocha La'aretz Kevodo, who really is supposed to be the one who embodies everything that our life represents, everything that our life stands for. So as we go through Parshas Vayakel, and we have the opportunity not only to appreciate what the Torah itself says, what the Psukim are all about, but to appreciate the repetition of Shabbos once again in our parsha and all of the melachos that are learned from it, it's really a chance for us to be mechazik our efforts and to think about how much do we actually know Hilchos Shabbos and perhaps how lacking are we in certain areas of Hilchos Shabbos. And it's an opportunity for us to be reminded that all of us have an obligation to know Hilchos Shabbos in order to know how to observe Shabbos properly. Like we said before, to go into a highway with blinders on one's eyes, you can't say, I want a pass, I want an excuse because I didn't see what was happening. Well, educate yourself. It's all of our opportunities that we have to educate ourselves. And today especially, when we have so many svarim that are available to us that lay out Hilchos Shabbos so clearly, so concisely, so understandably, there really is no excuse. In English and in Hebrew, we have so many opportunities to teach ourselves, to educate.